Welcome to the Element Church Podcast. Element Church is located in Orlando, Florida. For more information about Element, go to our website, elementorlando.tv. Now, prepare your hearts for this week's message.
You know, today is all about, vision. And so I've been praying. I'm going to let you guys know something. This morning is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit more of a journey than a sermon and than a message, if that's all right with you. I'm just going to talk to you just real and honest this morning. I always do that, right? I don't lie to you every week. That's a good thing. Are you guys awake this morning? Yeah. All right. Amen. Good. Some of you are like, I don't know, kind of. You know, Tiffany and I, in our life, it's been a series of all-in moments. It's been a series of leaps of faith for our life. In fact, it took a huge leap of faith about 4.5 years ago when we moved down here to Orlando. We knew that we wanted to plant a church, but we knew that we probably need to go on staff at a church for maybe a couple years, maybe a year, whatever, to just make sure that we're ready to do that. And you're never ready to do anything in life, right? I mean, how many of you are ready to get married? Amen? Some of you still aren't ready to get married. How many of you are ready to have children? Some of you might have been. Some of you weren't. But we took a leap of faith 4.5 years ago. We didn't have any family down here. Had no family. Had no friends. Knew no one. And we came down here. We sold our house. Our house sold in 24 hours. Yeah, God just opened up the door for us to come down here. We knew it was a God thing. And then about 2 years later, we were at the same table. And we were saying, once again, we have to take a leap of faith. Another all-in moment for us. And it was a very scary moment because this time there was no assurance. Don't you like to have assurance or insurance for that matter? You like to have assurance. You want to have assurance that God is going to be there. But we also want to have insurance just in case he's not, you know, kind of thing. Just a backup plan. But he's always there. And God just spoke to us and said, you need to plant a church and you need to do it. And so us and about three other families, we said, okay, let's do it in the living room. That seems like a good place, right? Living room, let's just start it. Let's just do it. What about salary, though? How are we going to make it? How are we going to live? How am I going to feed my two children? I have a mortgage payment. How am I going to do these things? And God said, I'll take care of you if you'll just obey me. And through a process, he did that. In the world just happened. Somebody just get run down. Just need one chair. Man, that's a good problem to have. Amen. We're running out of chairs in the kids' room. We need to get excited about that. Yes, let's get excited about that again. Yeah. That pumps me up right there. But as we took this leap of faith, we said, okay, we have no salary, we have no anything. And several families stepped up and said, hey, we'll take care of this. We'll make sure that this happens because we're all in. We're all in. We want to do it. We want to do whatever it takes to see that the kingdom of God prevails, that the kingdom of God is advanced, that the kingdom of God is prospered. And so we were like, okay, great, we'll do it. We're going to do it. We're going to take a leap of faith because you are an awesome God. So our life has been a series of leaps of faith. Just this past summer was a small leap of faith, but we said, if we're going to invest in this community, if we're going to be the pastors of this church, we need to live in this neighborhood. So we sold our house. We owed a lot on our house. We just bought it 3 or 4 years ago. And things financially, you guys have probably seen, right? It's not too great out there. Amen? But we said, you know, if we're going to invest in this community, we got to be out there and we got to do whatever it takes to get out there. And so we put our house on the market. We had an offer on it. And hopefully we're going to be closing on that thing very soon. But we moved right down the street where it was like 0.2 miles from the church, the Y, the community. Because we wanted to make that investment. It was all in. We were leaving a nice house that we liked. Tiffany loved the kitchen. She still complains about our kitchen. No, she really doesn't. She kind of does. Don't tell her. But she knew that it was all in. She knew what it took to do that because we'd had a series of all-in moments. So we've experienced some great things here at Element Church, haven't we? We've talked about them. Our one-year anniversary was just a month ago. Can you believe that? We've already gone past the month. You know, we're like 13 months old. Yay! But we've experienced some great things throughout this journey. The last couple of years have been the greatest time of ministry in our life. I'm gonna just say that again. Myself and Tiffany, the greatest moments of ministry have been experienced right here at Element Church. We are so thankful for our church family. We're so thankful that we're a part of this. But I want to be honest with you this morning. I want to be real with you. Because there's sacrifice involved, sometimes it's not all roses and strawberries. I like strawberries, so I said strawberries. It's not always roses, is it, when you sacrifice something? It's not always easy. It's funny how obedience requires you to do that sometimes. It requires you to sacrifice. And personally, we've sacrificed quite a bit, but there's nothing that we could sacrifice that will come close to the measure of what God has given us. And that's been an amazing blessing in our life that our children will be able to see and our children's children will be able to see. We're talking about generational witness that's taking place. And that's a cool thing. And of course, we wouldn't trade one second of this journey. We have seen life change take place weekly. In fact, this past week at Switch. This past week at Switch. You know what Switch is? Our youth ministry, our student ministry, 6th through 12th grade. You know what happened this past Thursday? Four students made commitments for Christ. Four students. That's a cool thing. That's a very cool thing. And that is why we do what we do. It's that stuff that never gets boring. If that stuff gets boring to you guys, you need to check your pulse. Because you're not alive. If four students making a commitment for Christ, whether it be a recommitment or accepting Christ for the first time, that is exciting stuff. And we see that those things happen every single week here at the church. And over the last few weeks, as we have grown, several things have become very certain as we look to the future of Element. I have come to the realization personally that bold steps have to be made to assure that we continue to grow in a healthy way. And it's time we all take a leap of faith together. Together. So today, as I've said this, today is truly a defining moment. A defining moment. In fact, it's up on the screen. It should be because my clicker's right there and I'm going to click it. It's right there. Boom. There you go. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. See, I overclicked. I got it. We're good. Today is a defining moment for our church. Don't you like to have defining moments? Doesn't that sound important? I mean, defining moments in your life, think about those. Those have been great moments. So today is a defining moment for our church. Today we will begin a journey into a season of revolutionary faith and revolutionary generosity. The likes we've never seen before here at Element Church. And some of you are like, man, you're just an over-hyper. You hype everything. It's the greatest thing ever. Let me tell you folks something. If we are witnessing life change, people going from death to life weekly, that is the greatest thing ever. And we will never apologize for it. I will never personally apologize for it. I truly believe that the next service and the next service and the next day and the next moment of ministry is our greatest hour. And I will never apologize for it. Because life change is taking place and transformation is taking place. And that's what we need to be about here at this church. So today is truly a defining moment for our church. Today we will venture into revolutionary faith, revolutionary generosity. All I can say is fasten your seatbelt. Because it's going to get exciting. It's going to be something really special. So today's scripture, we're going to look at some scripture today. Today's scripture is found in Matthew, the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Something that all of us have heard before. Something that all of us have heard before. We've all witnessed the story. In fact, let me just show you a little clip. I don't think this is live. And I don't think this is actual footage, but it's pretty close. Check this out.
Hey, Master, send the people away so that then they can go to the villages and farms around here and find food and lodging. This is a lonely place.
You yourselves give them something to eat.
But all we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth.
So we've probably all seen that in Sunday school, right? Anybody ever seen that before? Everybody heard that story? Where it was 5 loaves of bread. And today I've got 5 nicely wrapped loaves of bread here. Because why do I leave them wrapped? Because I'm going to give somebody some bread after the service. And then we found 2 fish. Tuna fish. And so today we illustrate a point in Scripture in Matthew chapter 14 that simply says that God did this, that Jesus did this. Let's read the Scripture starting in verse 13, chapter 14. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately. Let me just stop right there for a second. He'd heard what happened. John the Baptist had been beheaded, okay? He was at his lowest point emotionally maybe ever in his life, other than maybe going to Calvary. Think about that for a second. His friend, person that he cared about the most, was dead. He went to this solitary place just to be alone. And hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Let's just stop right there in verse 13. Just go back just a second. Jesus was so magnetic that everyone wanted to be around him. He was like the modern day rock star. You know, I took my daughter a couple years ago to see that Justin Bieber movie. Has anybody ever seen that? Yeah, I just admitted that on stage, okay? But here's the deal. It was this cultural phenomenon where everybody was following him and these girls were crying. I don't think girls were crying over Jesus. I'm not saying that. But they were following him everywhere he went as he scoped out his next location to minister. They wanted to be where he was at. And folks, the reason that we are growing as a church, not just in numbers, but spiritually, is because when Jesus is somewhere, that's where people want to be. And folks, when we have Jesus here, that's where people want to be. They want to be where he's at. And then at 14, it says, when landed, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them. He had compassion. Folks, we want to be a church that is filled with compassion so that we can impact those who are far from God. Isn't that what we desire? Jesus was so magnetic and he had so much passion. Let's continue on in verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. And it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." The disciples We're like, Jesus, for real. I mean, we're not going to be able to feed these people. Let them go to all the like the restaurants, all the food places around. Let them go to the food court and get them some food because there's nothing here. There's nothing here, and we're not going to make anything. We're tired. You know, sometimes you know what it's like. You get home late, and you're like, I'm not going to make anything, so I'm going to stop and get something, right? Well, that's the way the disciples were. They were like, just let them, send them away. Send them away. We have nothing for them here. And I thought about this in the context of our thoughts today, in the context of vision today in our church. Folks, I don't want to be like the disciples when people walk through our door. I don't want to send them away. I don't want to send them away because there's not enough to eat here. I don't want to send them away because we have nothing to offer them. I want to be full up so people can be ready to grasp the blessing of God. That's what I want. That's what I desire. So as evening approaches, they're saying, send the crowds away. And then this is what Jesus said. Jesus replied and he said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. The disciples are like, what are you kidding me? We don't have anything. What do you think? We're hiding a Hershey's bar in our back pocket here? I mean, we're not holding peanuts in our pockets. We don't have anything. And this is what he said. He says, we have here only five. This is what they said, the disciples. We have here only five loaves of bread. This is all we have. Five loaves of bread. Don't worry, it's a baguette. I won't hurt it. And we have two fish. Or tuna fish. This is all we have. And Jesus said, bring it here to me. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And taking the loaves and taking the fish, he lifts it up to God and says, God, you bless it. You bless it. Man, what an amazing amount of testimony. This is an all-in moment. These people had to eat. And he gave thanks and he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people and they all ate and were satisfied. And then the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls that were left over. God doesn't just meet your need. He is into the overflow of your need. God wants to do that for you in your life. God wants to do that for our church. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men. This is what we don't get. It always says feeding the 5,000. But then it says besides the women and the children. There was a lot more people there. There was just 5,000 men that were fed there. There was also women and children that were fed. So don't miss this morning. It started out with the surrender. It started out with the surrender. This little boy. We don't know. The scripture doesn't say. The disciples might have said, hey, kid, give us your food. Like somebody stealing milk money or whatever. Like bullies. Hey, give us your five loaves and two fish. We need that. I doubt it was like that. I'm sure the boy said, here, I give everything. I give everything to you. All I have, this is all I give. Everything I have, I want to give to you. That's surrender. That's where it starts. See, we can't get to the overflow without getting to the surrender. See, all of us want the overflow, don't we? We all want the abundance and the blessing. We want everything, but we don't want to surrender. We don't want to pay for it. If we have to give something to it, then we don't want it. We're looking for something for nothing. Give us something. We can't go straight to the overflow. We have to start at the surrender. And for this little young man, he surrendered everything he had. Today, I want to bring up a couple of different families, a couple of different folks. And I want them to share the story of how they've surrendered. I want to share the story of how they have had amazing faith. Because the surrender turns into faith. They had to have faith at some point that God was going to provide. And then the faith turns into the overflow. So I'm going to start with a surrender. And I'm going to ask one of our founding fathers, Mr. Nick Quaich, to come up at this point. Yeah, yep. He's going to use the red mic. Is it? Yeah, it takes it just a second. Check, check, check.
There you go.
See the
Pastor anointed it. Look at that.
Yeah.
When Pastor Jeremy asked me to speak about a couple of topics, the first one being the impact that Elements had on my family, and Christy can't be with us today. She's at a conference all weekend. So, and the second topic being our sacrifice to help Element, which I really hate always referring to it as a sacrifice. I'm not comfortable with that because I don't think it is a sacrifice. It's something that I think that we're commanded to do. I think sacrifice is sending your son to die on a cross so that we can be healed. So I think that's a sacrifice. I think what we do is what God has commanded us to do, which is preach the gospel and get others, you know, make disciples. So when he asked me to speak, I sat down last night and kind of thought about the things that just kind of fast forward. It's almost that something that takes you 10 minutes, but it goes by like that as you think of the journey where we started at. Haven't ever really had a chance to kind of pontificate and talk about how this whole thing came to pass as far as it comes to Christy and myself and Avery and Elena. We were members of a congregation at the church that Jeremy was an associate pastor at. I grew up as a Methodist. I was always the kid that just sat in the back of the church and never really got involved, which I was always habitually there. I showed up. I worshiped. I read the Bible, but I was never fully connected. When we got to this church, they asked us to immediately, within a couple weeks, they said, oh, you guys got to start a life group. You got to have people, you know, well, at that time it was called a home group. So you got to have a home group. You got to have people over your house. And Christy and I looked at each other and said, what the heck is that? What do we do? We didn't know what it was all about. And so consequently, we basically put our name on a sheet and some people signed up for us and they showed up at our house and, you know, we sat around and said, well, what do we do now? So through the months and the weeks and the months and the years that passed, we became studiers of the Bible. We learned how to do that and we all just kind of did life together. So that made it easy when we came to Element to start doing life groups as well. That was an easy, smooth transition. But as Jeremy was transitioning away from this church, it really was a crossroads for Christy and I to make a decision to step out in faith with him. We knew how we felt. We were always friends with their family. Our kids played together. We knew that we were going to stick by him, but we didn't know what that entailed. We didn't know the commitment that was going to take to take on that endeavor. So we, you know, took Jeremy and Tiffany down to our condo by the beach, and we said, hey, we're with you. We want you to know that whatever God's called you to do, if he's called you to plant a church, we don't know what that means. We don't see what the vision is, but we're with you. And I don't even think that we understood what a commitment that was, us and the other two families that vowed to be with him, what it means to have somebody's life in your hands, where your support is necessary for their livelihood. And so for Christy and I, that was a huge thing that we had to really sit and kind of pray about in order to take that on. So, but we did, and of course God gave us a resounding, you know, you need to do it. So we did. So going fast forwarding to starting Element, where it was just us three families, and that's why this morning it was incredible to hear Jeremy singing and obviously now he's preaching, because that's what we were used to, because that's what it was. It was the six or eight of us in my living room with the kids upstairs in the playroom. And Jeremy sitting on a stool, and he'd start out, and he'd sing two, three songs, and we'd worship together. And then he'd take his guitar and put it on the stand, and then he would grab his Bible, and there we go. And it was incredibly awkward. You know how people say awkward, and that's what it was. It was incredibly difficult to go from being in a 500-person congregation where you could just hide in the back and do your service, and then you get in your car and you go home. Well, this was much different than that. Such also to the point that when we finally were blessed with the opportunity to come to the YMCA, we started in the exercise room, which again was incredibly awkward. You know, we had some PVC pipe and some drape, and we made it all pretty, and we put the chairs up, and of course we had the stool, and we still did the same thing. But then when we transitioned into the gym, it was the same thing, where it was all on us, and that was very strange. It's to be responsible for being there every week for setup, every week for teardown, every week for greeting, every week for, you know, every facet of worship was on us. And so it was very, you know, the ladies in the nursery, you know, it's just one of those things where there was no time to worry about yourself and, you know, corporate worship. So that was definitely a test. Regarding the impact that Elements had on our family, and again, thinking about it this morning during my quiet time, I'm kind of thinking about all the, I travel for a living, I work for a bank, and so I'm afforded the opportunity to travel. Sometimes it doesn't feel like an opportunity. It's very grueling to jump on flights, go out of town, come back home, and the running around that comes with that. But the one good thing is that I do get to fly, and one of the things that I've been very conscious to do is I try to strike up conversations with the people that I fly with. And it's amazing. And I'll just go through just one or two examples, because there's been countless examples of just a simple conversation or reading a certain book can spark something. Especially as it relates to Element. So for a couple years ago, I was going up to St. Louis and Chicago all the time. And I remember one time sitting there, and I'm sitting in the exit row, and some gentleman next to me, I'm reading a book. I even forget what book it was, but it must have been something God-related that enabled this gentleman to reach across the aisle and touch my arm and say, you know, hey, what's with that book? Or you know, and I didn't know where he was going with this, but as it turned out, these two gentlemen that were sitting to my right were from Melbourne, and they were actually going to St. Louis for a symposium on church planting. They had no idea about church planting. So we proceeded to sit there for the next hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, and they were just picking my brain about how do you plant a church, and what did you guys go through, and it was just incredibly liberating to be able to share those things and have these guys say, that is just unbelievable. Another flight, I was sitting in the seat, and we had just been on family vacation to Indianapolis. We went to Winter Jam. Saw, you know, Skillet and all the other bands that are at this concert. And I just happened to be flipping through my phone, and I had shot some video, and so I'm watching it, got my earphones in, I'm watching it, and the lady next to me kind of taps me on the arm, and she says, wow, that's awesome. You know, have you ever been to see Skillet? And I said, well, yeah, we just got home from the concert, and it was awesome. And she said, that's incredible. She said, we're pastors, youth pastors, and we tried to take our kids to Winter Jam in Kansas City, where we live outside, about an hour outside of Kansas City, and we were turned away because they were sold out, and I said, wow, that's terrible, she said, well, what, you know, I said, well, what denomination are you? She said, well, we're Nazarenes, and of course, that's, you know, our affiliation here at Element. We have the backing of the district of the Nazarene, and just the fact that their road was so similar to what our road was. And for, of all the planes, of all the airports, of all the places in the world, I'm sitting next to this girl who has, you know, that similar path. So, and then the last one was it was actually just about a month and a half ago, where I'm up in first class and flying back from Charlotte, and there's a gentleman that sits next to me. And I'll tell you, it didn't start out good, because he seemed very, you know, you see the stereotypes. The guy was a little uppity, and he was a little, you know, had some things to say to the flight attendant, was just seemed like kind of grouchy. And so my initial thought was, you know, what's this guy's deal? And so I got up and I went to the bathroom, came back, sat down, and pulled out a book I was reading. It's called Every Man, God's Man, that I was reading back through again. And just out of nowhere, the guy turns and we launch into this hour conversation. The guy's an eye surgeon up in Pittsburgh, has a house up in Pittsburgh, has a house here in Windermere where his wife lives. She's the VP of a bank. And he proceeds to tell me, I mean, you just hear this guy's story where he's a doctor, for goodness sake, but in college, he studied Old Testament theology. So we sit there and launch into this huge, huge discussion about it. So, you know, it's just what Element has meant to me, and I mean, I'm speaking for myself and Christy, is that just the joy of being a part of something, going to other churches where you seem like a number. You might not be a number. It might not be the ultimate, you know, vision of the church for you to be a number, but that's how you feel. Whereas we had to be part of something here that we built. We did build that, which you could say. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. The second thing is that our kids have actually been a part of something. You know, Tiffany does just an amazing job of teaching our children. They learn something. It's not just them going in a classroom and coloring a picture of Jesus. They actually come home, they remember verses, they learn about the Bible, they tell stories. It's incredible. My 8-year-old comes home and just, I mean, absolutely goes for, she talks a lot anyway, but she goes on for 15, 20 minutes about this story, and it's just amazing of the retention, and that just tells me that she's learning and that she's retaining it, which is vitally critical because she is going to be the one that is going to have to carry that torch for the next generation. And the third thing is, obviously, the impact of Element has been for me to be able to invest in people's futures, for me to step out of my comfort zone and to bring other people up as well who want to come up. So for as far as the sacrificial portion, and again, I just don't like calling it a sacrifice, but when we decided to do this, to take this leap with Jeremy and Tiffany, you hate for it to be a part of it, but the tithing was a huge part of it because we were faced with the decision that we were going to support them and we were going to make sure that their bills were covered. And that's exactly how we said it was, you know, let us know what the number is and we're going to make sure that we divide that by three and we'll make it happen. And that's what we did. And there were many times where it's very difficult. You know, we have two children of our own. We have a house to pay for. We have cars and things to pay for. Making that decision to support was both liberating for us because we began to see that the more that we just turned it over to God, God said, I'm going to show you something. And we got blessed tenfold for what we've done. And again, there's not enough time today. We'd be here till 4 o'clock doing a revival, hearing about all the things that have happened. But I just suffice to say that Christy and I have been incredibly blessed and that the things that we just did not even see, we thought they were a long ways down the road. God just totally cleared everything, bulldozed it out of the way, if you will, and said, we'll just see about that. The other thing that was strange was, you know, Jeremy brings up surrender, and that's actually what I, this morning, thinking about it, of what I wrote down, that this is a total surrender, and it is not comfortable, and not to be condescending, which means to talk down to somebody, by the way. It's all about the surrender. It's all about giving it over to God and saying, God, I trust you with every single thing, because I'm telling you, when you think about it, we are this in the grand scheme of things. We are a speck in this world from the time that the world was created and up until now. Our 80, 90, 100 years is a speck, and we have a very, very short time to make an impact for the kingdom and to pass it on to our children to make sure that they take that torch and they run with it. So that surrender has been something that's been incredibly difficult. And I think, you know, obviously we would all agree that nothing that's built and that's successful is very easy. We don't get success, you know, just like that. It takes long, like athletes, you know, it takes a long time to train and to build up and get ready to win that championship or to be successful. And for us, that was huge, but we're seeing the dividends paid. Seeing you guys all sitting out here today, we started with, you know, 8, 10, 11, 12 people in an exercise room. And each week, you know, we started out in this gym this way. And the goal was for us to get in the gym in the first place. Now we're in the gym. Now the goal was that we're this way. Then the goal was to try to raise this curtain, and it's up. Then the goal was to turn the room sideways, which it is. And then the next thing is to turn it where we're the back of the room is at that basketball goal, and that's where we're on target to do. And so, of course, the upside is we've seen more volunteers. We've seen people step up. We've seen people give of themselves. And it's not just giving of your money. It's your giving of your time, your talents. And we've seen that as well. And the last thing I would just leave you with is that, again, through my, you know, my I choose to make my kind of quiet time first thing in the morning. It's kind of difficult wiping the sleep out of your eyes, but I feel that it's the only time that the girls are still in bed and it's kind of quiet. But reading this morning was in the book of Esther, and it was in chapters 8 and 9, and it really focuses on a time where Esther, you know, back in that day, you know, the Jewish women were expected to be just a servant. You know, they took care of the house. They didn't really say much politically or religiously. They were kind of quiet, and Esther really took that step, that leap of faith. She stepped up and basically put her life on the line. And was begging the king to let the Jews stand up for themselves, defend themselves. Even gave the Jews the ability to plunder when they did overtake somebody that was trying to attack them. But I think the telling sign is that when they did defend themselves, they didn't take the plunder because it's not about things. And believe me, nobody more than myself. I like the nice things in life, but things are not important at all, amen, at all. But I think I would just end with that. I think as all of us are making that decision in our hearts on how we're going to become ownership of Element Church and how we're gonna lead us into the next couple of years and the next 10 years, the next 20 years, that we just understand that we need to be open and ready and available, because God is going to use us to do what others are afraid to do. There's a lot of people that are afraid to step up and be brave and be strong and make that commitment and turn it over to Christ and say, I cannot do it by myself, God, I need your help. And I think that when we do that and we really just turn it over, we're going to see just absolutely incredible, monumental, audacious things happen here for Element. Amen. Thanks so much.
Amen. Amen. You know, for Nick and Christy and their family, it started with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what it started with. And they've been able to see that their baskets have been overflowed and overflowed and overflowed. Here, let me give you your phone back there. I have one of my own. One of their baskets being overflowed was last Sunday. Their oldest daughter was baptized in the pool. Isn't that awesome? And their youngest daughter, they've only got two, she's going to be baptized as well. We can clap for that as well. Notice that Jesus didn't touch this food until they brought it to him. Notice that he didn't do that. Let me ask you a question. I mean, let me think about this for a second. I mean, Jesus could have just said, God, right now, just rain food down from heaven. Couldn't he have done that? I mean, couldn't he have just rubbed his temples and, done the old genie thing, boom, and do that? I mean, he could have done that, right? Yeah, but he didn't. He didn't choose to do that. Why didn't he? I mean, everybody could have had a full buffet of food. It could have been a smorgasbord. I love that word. But they didn't. Because the answer is simple. It illustrates the principle of the tipping point. Until we bring Jesus our very best offering to the table, that is when he will touch it. And that is when he will work miracles in your life. Folks, what we're seeing today is we're seeing miraculous things happen because we said, here, we surrender. We give everything to you. Not just a little bit, but everything. We want you to have the whole gamut. 5 loaves and 2 fish. It goes to you. You got to have faith to do that. And one person I thought about that has faith that came to this church, she didn't know anybody here. It was a strange place. She was alone. She wasn't married. She didn't have a family, but she came here as a single person. It's Jasmine. And so Jasmine's going to come up for just a minute, and she wants to share just a few seconds about the impact that Element has had on her. Let's give her a hand. There you go. It takes a second.
Hello.
There you go.
So I guess my story is more how God has used Element to change my life. I actually found Element online through the podcast, and I said, I was moving from Tampa to back to Orlando. I went to school in Tampa, and I said, I have to find a church that is home, that I can grow in God and learn more. And so I listened to the podcast and said, hey, this is pretty cool. I have to go check this out. So I went, and when I walked through these doors, there wasn't nearly as many people as there is now, but I felt at home. I've never felt like that before at any church that I've been. I feel like I'm a part of the family here. It's just such an experience. I felt God's presence here, and I knew this is the place where I had to be and where God had so many plans. I just didn't know what they were, but I was on board and I was ready. Now I'm part of a few life groups, and I'm learning more about God. I'm becoming closer to him. I'm more on fire for him, and I just see amazing things that happen in those life groups, here at church, life change, just, baptisms, and it's just so amazing. I'm overwhelmed. When I was asked to speak, it was just almost, I didn't know how to break it down into these small pieces. There was just so much going on. I'm excited to be a part of Element Church. I know that God has huge plans, and I'm ready to do my part. As Nick said, it's a sacrifice, and I'm ready. I'm ready for my sacrifice or to do my part, whatever that may be. My heart, my ears are open, and I'm ready for the next few steps that have come here in Element and in the community. So.
Amen. Amen. She heard, I don't know if you heard this or not, but she heard several sermons on the podcast before she ever came in the door. Isn't that cool? That means we're having an impact outside of these four walls right here. People hear what we're doing. Here's what's important, that we all bring our best. Jasmine said, I'm ready to bring my best. I'm ready to do my part. God doesn't want just a token gift. He wants your total faith and your very best. You know what's interesting about this passage today? You remember this little boy who had the goods? He had everything. He had the fish. He had the bread. I wonder if Jesus would actually touch the food if it was just a portion. Probably not. He only works with our very best. He doesn't want just some. He wants all. He doesn't want your leftovers today. I wonder if it was very tempting for that little boy to put a couple of those fish in his back pocket. It would have been some stinky stuff later on. His mom would have had to wash something out. It would have been bad. But I wonder how easy would that have been for him to hold back a little. See, when we all bring our best, God will then bring our overflow. Man, that's awesome to hear stories of life change that have taken place. There's another family here. I'm not going to make them come up. I'm just going to make them stand up. The Torres family. You guys stand up for a second. They're right here wearing orange shirts. Yeah, let's give them a hand. Remain standing. Don't go anywhere. In fact, come up here right here so they can see you. People don't want to see your back. They want to see your face, your smiling faces. Andrew somewhere. They have another one. Yeah, Andrew. Chelsea. Chelsea got baptized last week. She's in the kids area. Isn't that cool? Let me tell you, this family here, these folks, they came to church through an outreach event called GLOW. They came to GLOW. They saw it and they were like, man, this is pretty cool. So we'll go check out the church the next Sunday, which was Easter Sunday. They came to church the next day or the 2 days later. And then I don't think they've missed many Sundays since. They started coming and they were like, yeah, we'll check this out for a little while to see what this is all about. Well, to find out a little bit about their backstory, they'd been to a couple of different churches. One church, the last church they were at, just closed down. It just shut down. They kind of folded. And they were really kind of done with church, the organized church part. They weren't done with God. They loved God. But they were just kind of fed up with church. And they were like, man, the church has hurt me. And we don't know if we want to go all in. We don't know if we want to dive into that again. Because we just like a girlfriend or boyfriend. You remember when you wanted to date again, but you'd been hurt. And you're like, I don't know if I want to do that again. I don't know if I want to do that. But let me tell you what happened. They started coming and they kept coming. Andrew joined the band. That's pretty cool, huh? So he came and joined the band. We're like, you play guitar? Are you kidding me? You need to be in the band. And then mom and dad, they joined the VIP team. They started setting up, tearing down, and the mobile team as well. They don't even know if they like it, but they're wearing those orange shirts and they're doing it. You know what's cool? One Sunday, a couple of months ago, Martine comes to me and says, I just want to let you know, we're ready to go all in. We're ready to serve. We're ready to do whatever it takes for our family. And that was huge for them because they'd been hurt by that church. They'd been hurt by a church. And today is a part of the overflow. Not only is their son playing in the band, and this is Haley as well. She is an active member of our youth group, Switch. Chelsea got baptized last week. They're both serving in the church. They're now in our life group at our house on Tuesday nights. They're also in the marriage life group on Monday nights. They're on fire, folks, because of what God is doing. See, this is the overflow. See, this family wasn't even thought of when Element Church a year and a half ago, were they? We didn't say, oh man, the Torres family. We didn't even know about them. See, they're 6 months down the road, maybe next Easter, maybe this time next year, there's going to be many more families like this who are yet to come. And today, we are sowing a seed for families just like this. This is the reason why we do what we do. Amen? So let's give them another hand. You guys can sit down. I've bragged on you enough. No, I haven't actually. I'm going to keep bragging on you. Because God is blessing their family. Let me tell you another little side thing. This is pretty cool. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not. Can I say it? About your big thing last month? She was the top sales rep with her real estate company last month. God is blessing their obedience. They continue to be obedient. This is not, I'm not up here. This is not a TV evangelist. I'm not going to bring out the lady with the pink hair. I'm not trying to tell you, give me your money now. We'll sow a gift. I'm not that kind of pastor. Many of you know my heart. And when we all bring our best, God will show us the overflow. Some of you are saying today, I got it, Pastor. This is Vision Sunday, and you're preaching on money, and you just want us to give more money. That's all you want is our money. And I've said this before. I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. I've said that before. I want you to have the blessing. This church will be fine. We will make it. God will bring in the people that He needs to bring in. We want the blessing for you today. Many of you know my heart. You know who I am. You know I'm not a fundraiser. I'm a faith raiser. You know I'm not a hobnobber. I don't go out and play golf. In fact, I hurt my knee a couple weeks ago playing golf. I don't go play out with the big donors. I don't go with the big wigs. I don't try to wrestle checks from people. I treat everyone the same because the book of James says to. I'm not that kind of person. I don't hang out at the country club. I don't play the game, whatever the game is. I'm not focused on sucking up to the big donors. In fact, we don't even have any big donors. I treat everyone the same. I love each and every one of you. And I'm focused on raising your faith, not raising funds. But if we're going to take this church to the next level, we have to take a big, giant leap of faith towards obedience. And as your leader, I am doing that today. This isn't about money. It's about faith and impacting the kingdom. This is our defining moment thus far in this church. This is it. This is where we're at. And so what does all this mean, Pastor? What are you telling me? Today, we want to take a bold leap of faith toward the future, steps that will impact the future and have a ripple effect for eternity. Today, we are beginning a two-year generosity initiative. Two-year generosity initiative. Some of you are like saying, is that a building campaign? Is that a capital campaign? What is that? It's an initiative called Cannonball. And I'm going to say that again. It's an initiative called Cannonball. Where did my clicker go? Did somebody steal my clicker? Oh, here it is. It's over here by the tuna. It's called Cannonball. We're going to go to it right here. All in and making waves. Cannonball. What is this all about? See, a cannonball requires 100% all-out participation, doesn't it? You ever seen your kid just fly off the edge of the pool and do a cannonball? Some of you have done like a can opener. That's like halfway. See, you can't pencil dive. You can't just put your toe in the water. Ooh, let's see if it's cold. Like my daughter does. You can't do that. With a cannonball, it's all in, all or nothing. You jump as far as you can and you make the biggest wave possible, right? And you try to get all the water out of the pool. At least that's what I try to do. I'm kind of bigger. I can do that. And so here at Element Church, over the next 2 years, we're going to go all in and we're going to make some waves. The question is, are you with me? Or am I just up here standing alone? The question is, are you with me to go all in and make waves? Because we're serious about this. we're serious about this, and it's time that we all get serious about this. As Nick said, it's not just about a few here just giving, or the few here just supporting it. It's about everybody giving. It's not equal gift, because all of you have different gifts that you're going to bring. But it's all equal sacrifice. It's all equal surrender. It's not equal gift, because all of you make different amounts of money. So you can't compare with all of these other people. God doesn't want $1 million from you. He wants you to give everything. He wants you to give all. He wants you to give the fish and the loaves, all in and making waves. So what does this look like? It's broken down into two parts. Two parts. First of all, it's all in. We have to go all in. What does that mean? A couple things. We want to hire additional staff. Boom. I said it. That feels good. Here's the deal. Tiffany and I went on a cruise last week because the church was generous enough to send us on one last year for Pastor Appreciation Month last October. And we're thankful for that, by the way. We said that over and over, and we're going to continue to say that because it was a great time to disconnect from the world. But it also made us think about this. There's not one more thing that we can put on our plate. Not one. We love our volunteers. In fact, if you volunteered in this church before, I want you to stand up. If you've done anything in this church, I want you to stand up. Anything. If you've played in the band, anything. I see some people that have volunteered that are not standing up. There's some special speakers like Michelle Harrington that needs to stand up. Miss Jane, you helped in the cafe today. You stand up. Melinda, I see you out there. I just met with you about stepping up, which you did, and you have. Look at this. Let's give these folks a hand. No, come on, bigger hand than that. Come on. Let's get for real. We love our volunteers, but the fact of the matter is every person that stood up pretty much has a job. And you work hard. And you have a family. And you work hard as well. And you're trying to squeeze as much as you can of the church into it, and that's great. And we are thankful for that, that you have made church a priority. And we want more of a priority in your life, and that's great. But the fact of the matter is, Tiffany and I, we work very hard, and this is our career. This is our job. Some people say, why don't you go get a job? Are you kidding me? Do you think all I do on throughout the week is just prepare for Sunday? No, we do a lot, and all of you know that. But we're at our capacity, and so we've got to hire additional staff. We need an associate pastor and family that could come in and duplicate what Tiffany and myself are doing. We have to duplicate leadership. We love our volunteers, but we need people who make Element their main career priority and can do things that I simply have no time to do. There's many things that I would love to be doing. And if we're going to see that our church grows, we have to duplicate our leadership. If we're going to go to the next level, if we're serious about going all in, we have to make this higher. We have to. Now, what is this? What are the responsibilities of this person? What are they going to do? Well, here's what they're going to do. Back to one thing. There we go. Student ministry, switch. They will be the youth pastor. They'll be over that. They'll be over sub-30 young adults. They'll be over life groups. They might even throw in some graphic design. They'll have associate pastor duties. They'll have the growth track. They'll be teaching in that. Because I don't know if you know this, but I teach all four classes all throughout the month. Now we can't do that. We've got to have people that are going to come in and help you grow spiritually. We need people that could come in and assist what we're doing. Student ministry is a huge need. I just mentioned that four students made decisions for Christ this past week. Why can't that be 40? Why can't that be 20 next year? Why can't it be 40 by 2 years from now? Why can't it be? Well, I led Switch on Thursday nights. And tonight I'll be leading sub-30. Folks, at some point my tank is going to go empty. So now, folks, it's time that we step up. It's time that we go all in. And it's time that we bring in somebody that can help us in a tremendous way to take this church to the next level. Folks, we've been able to see amazing growth take place. What else does it mean to go all in? Well, it means to expand resource and strengthen our current ministries. That includes Element Kids. Folks, there's a lot of other things that we could be doing in Element Kids. We want to expand that. Starting next week, we're going to be expanding from two divisions to three divisions of Element Kids. You saw that the need that we just saw chairs come from here to there. And some little child was streaking across the gym floor. Not streaking, but he was going across the gym floor. That would be really weird. Well, folks, in the other area, you don't see this, but sometimes those that don't have little children, we have a little Sparks area for our nursery children, and Carrie Cathcart has done an amazing job volunteering. I'm glad she's in here today because she's usually back there. But here's the deal. We've got a preschool area called Kinetic that we're going to begin next week. But we need more volunteers. We need more resources. We need more things. We need to duplicate our resources that we have. Lights, backdrops, things like that. A switch ministry. We're going to take that to the next level. We utilize the cafeteria on Thursday nights. We want to take that to the next level. Lights and sound. And a lot of that is staffing as well. We need a staff member, as we just talked about. Worship. Here's the cool thing about worship, folks. In the next few weeks, there is this cool thing that takes place in churches. When you get to 80% of your capacity, which we're about right now, 80% of your capacity, the church kind of goes at a plateau. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to move this stage and make room for more people in the next few weeks. But it costs money to do that. We need more backdrop. We need more pipe and drape. We need more stage. We need more everything because God wants us to reach more people. That's what it's all about. It's about impacting the kingdom. And so if we're going to do that in the next few weeks, if we're going to expand the worship area, if we're going to resource and strengthen those areas and be a better catalyst for growth, then we've got to have people go all in. All in. So we want to scale up our ministries to make room for this growth. We want to take our ministry to the world. We want to improve technology, which means a web campus. We just said that one of our owners, she came through to our church because of a podcast. How many of hundreds or thousands can be reached for Christ through a web campus? Well, that involves buying cameras and setting this place up to be a catalyst for growth and a catalyst for transformation in our world. We believe that from right here in Lake Nona, we can change the world. How many believe that? I believe that. To do these things, it will take obedience, sacrifice, Element Church being all in. And then the second one is making waves. All in and making waves. What's the difference? We're talking some big stuff here. That the first thing was big enough, right? It's an audacious thing. But the second thing is even bigger. See this right here? This building? This is in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill. It's called Ebenezer's Coffee House. It's the number one rated coffee house in Washington, D.C. It's run by a church. National Community Church. An amazing church. Somebody gave them this building. They redid it. And made it into a 7-day-a-week coffee house. A marketplace ministry. Where they reach people, not just on Sundays, but every single day of the week. Well, I've been in contact with the people in Washington, D.C. with Ebenezer's. And they have emailed me all of their business plan. And they want to meet with us about possibly partnering, not to put an Ebenezer's, but put something that Element can be a part of. A marketplace ministry right here in Lake Nona. Yeah, you can get excited about that. What does this mean? It's a cafe, it's a venue to build families on the elemental foundation of Jesus Christ, right? In our community, that's what we want to do, right? And if we want to do that, we've got to find other avenues just besides, hey, let's bring them into the Y on Sundays. No, we got to go further than that. We've got to make big waves. We've got to go all in with a cannonball. And some of you are passionate about this. I know you are. Some of you are passionate about making this happen. We want to serve coffee with a cause. We believe that this will help people engage in our community and give people in our community a non-threatening environment that they can come to where it doesn't have this big churchy feeling to it. It's not a pastor getting up and preaching. when they walk in on a Monday morning, but it's somebody, a friendly face, giving them a cup of coffee. Wow. Nick was talking about that earlier, how he's been able to reach people for Christ away from Element Church. But he's doing it in the name of the gospel. See, we also have an opportunity to have an additional service or on an alternative night and time. It could be a place for a life group to meet. It could be a place for students to study. It could be a place for a football team to come after a football game. Some of you are like, wow, that sounds like a great idea. Well, it could be a dream or it could be a strategy. Every cup of coffee sold will represent a life changed. That's what we want. That's what we're all about. And this market is wide open. In fact, some of you could even be employed there. Can you imagine that? Some of our own Element people being employed to work at whatever we call this. Folks, this is not just a pipe dream. This is something that we have to invest in. This is something that we must make waves in. In fact, I'm going to show you just a couple of other pictures. The first picture is this. This is what the inside looks like. They've already got all the orange in there. Isn't that cool? This is a very cool coffee shop. This is the upstairs. There's two floors of it. This is the upstairs part of it that's more of the coffee shop. It looks a little bit like Starbucks, you know, but I don't care if there's four Starbucks that move in Lake Nona. It really doesn't matter. Somebody wants to come to me afterwards and say, oh, well, there's going to be four Starbucks in here. We're not trying to compete with Starbucks. We got something that Starbucks doesn't have. Jesus. Jesus. Second one. This is the downstairs. This is a venue. This is what we want to do. This is kind of the model of what we want to do. What can we do in here? Well, we can do concerts. We can do open mic night. We can do poetry readings. We can do art exhibits. There's all kinds of things we can do in there. We could even have a Sunday night, a Monday night, a Saturday night service right there. Because we want it. That'll be ours. Now, some of you were looking in here today, and you probably came in here and said, vision, what are they going to talk about? They must have a big rendering of a building somewhere on Narcoosie Road, or they're going to have a flyby of something that, you know, that we're going to have. Folks, this is not about a building. This is about touching lives. This is about impacting eternity forever and ever and ever and ever. And if you want to be a part of it, you need to go all in. It's going to be big. This is what it looks like, that same room. This is what it looks like when it's filled. That's on a Sunday night. You know what that is? All that is college students. They have it packed on a Sunday night. And they have worship and everything else. It's a multi-use venue. Cannonball. What else does making waves look like? We talked about this last week. Multi-site Element campuses in 2013, 14, and 15. The very first campus may be our coffee house. Did you ever think about that? Nobody ever thought about that. Nobody ever thought, well, our first campus will be either UCF or Kissimmee or downtown. What about our very first campus is also in Lake Nona? Wow. Did you ever think about that? Pretty cool, huh? What is God going to do with you? What are you going to allow him to do? We want to be a sending church, not a staying church. We talked about that last week. We want to be a sending church, not a staying church. This is what this is about. We don't want to build this big kingdom domain in here so we can just be all about inward stuff. No, we want to be out in the world. We want to be about reaching the community. And we want to be the most generous church. We want to take care of the needs in our community, whatever they are. Many of you have been part of some of these needs, like the Christmas house, where we've helped hundreds of kids. Last year, we fed several families for Thanksgiving. But we can do a lot more. We're just scratching the surface when it comes to generosity. See, a part of giving all is giving back to everyone in need. And then we will see the overflow. Everyone. Everyone. It's everyone going all in. It's everyone with a cannonball. If you're a first-time guest today, I want to apologize to you. But I want to say this. Just watch our faith. Watch our faith over the next 2 years of what's going to happen. And you're going to want to be a part of this church. Let me tell you why. Because God is about to do something huge up in here. And you can either be a part of it or you can just sit back and say, oh, those people are crazy, like the disciples first thought. They thought, Jesus, you're nuts. There's no way you can turn this into an abundance. There's no way. See, folks, one thing I've come to understand is that God has to touch this thing. That Jesus is our CEO. He will underwrite this thing. Just watch as we bring God our best. We want to look back from 2 years from now. We want to say, only God could have done this. Only God could have done this. Only He is responsible for it. Because Pastor Jeremy, he's incapable of doing it. This congregation is incapable of doing it. It's only God. And that's it. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. This is our defining moment. This day has the ability to change our course as a church. And I don't want you to miss out on this. I don't want you to miss out on this. The same power that multiplied the fish and the loaves will be the source that impacts this community. It will be the source that impacts Cannonball. And for the next 2 years, this is not something we're just rolling out today. We're not just rolling it out today and forgetting about it. This is something today we are serious about. This is something today we're going to stick with for the next 2 years. And we're asking you to come apart, to be a part of it. There are lives on the line. There's people to be reached out to. There's resources that we need to be able to minister to these people. And the fact of the matter is we've come as far as we can with the resources that we have. And we've done pretty good with God's resources, haven't we? God has blessed us and it's kind of hard to explain because Nick and I probably can look at each other and Brooke and some of the other folks that have been here since the beginning, and we can say, we didn't have any of this. We never thought we were going to make it, but we had faith. We couldn't do it alone. God had to be in charge. God had to be in control. So here's what I want you to do. I want our ushers to come forward at this point. Ushers, give me a couple ushers up here. This is too important. Too important. I know we're running over today. I know we're going long. I want to apologize to you, but here's the deal. God is moving up in here, and I want you to be a part of this. I want you to be a part of something special that you can look back 10, 20 years from now and say, man, do you remember that defining moment? Element Church changed forever that day. Here's what I want you to do. Ushers, come up here. If you call Element your home, I want you to pass these cards out. I want everybody to hold one. For families, some of you might just need one. Just pass them out. I don't want you to even look at them yet. Hang on. Don't look at them. You can look at the cannonball and the little water drop. But I don't want you to look at the other side. Some of you are like, this pastor has lost his mind. He's passing out cards. He's asking for money. Here's what's happening. I don't want you to give a dime today for Cannonball. I don't want you to commit to anything, so don't start writing on this. Here's what we're going to do today. We are going to pass these things out. You are going to take these home. You're going to put it on your refrigerator. You're going to talk to your family about it. You're going to pray about it more than anything. I want you to begin by praying daily for this card. Number two, I want you to give yourself time. Give yourself time. Don't rush your decision. You'll find that the more you genuinely pray about this decision, the more that God will allow you to put on this card. It'll be more than the first amount that pops in your head. I want families to work together. I want you to sit down with your children. I want you to sit down with your children and talk about what it means to be all in and making waves. I want you to be all in with this. I want your kids to make sure they understand the sacrifice, understand the surrender. And I want you to also read God's promise in Philippians 4:19. Read that every single day and think about this card. And decide as a family, and then I want you to write down your amount. And then next Sunday, here's what we're going to do. It'll be like Commitment Sunday. We're going to bring our cards back. We've got a very special surprise in store next week. We're going to do something really audacious, something crazy. I'm going to, at least. I might even get wet. But God wants you to do something. I want to explain this card. You can flip it over now. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your, you don't have to do anything right now. But when you get home and you start to make decisions, you start to pray about this and start to talk about this as a family. It simply says this: here is what I or we are going to give over the next 2 years. This is a 2-year commitment. 2-year commitment. And in the, here's how we're going to do it. Next week, we're going to have a first fruits. We're going to do a kickstart on this thing. So if you'd like to put that in there, you can put that amount in there. Next week's offering, what you're going to bring first fruits to God. See, God wants your first. He wants your best. Then you can do it weekly. You can do it monthly. You can do it yearly. If you want to add a one-time gift on there. If you have donation of other assets you want to do, that's great too. Here's the great thing about this. It's flexible. And God wants you to do something. He wants you to do more than something. He wants you to give your loaves. And he wants to give your fish. Give you to give your fish to him. So I want you to do this. And here's what we're going to do today. I want everybody to stand with me. I want everybody to stand with me. Let me tell you something. This hasn't been an easy sermon for me to preach. Some of you think, man, that guy just, he's real natural at that, just asking for stuff. No, that's not me at all. You know that. I've never once asked you for anything in a year and a half of being this the pastor here. Never. But this is a defining moment for us. This is important. This is a defining moment for you as well. And the overflow is right around the corner, but it starts with a surrender. It starts with you surrendering. Everybody be it all in. Don't wait for the big wigs to write the checks. Oh, somebody will take care of that. That somebody might be you. Don't say that. Everybody working together to make this thing happen. So here's what I want you to do today. I want everybody to get together as a family, and I want everybody to gather across. Bring your cards with you. Gather across the front today. We're going to pray over these cards. Get with your family right now. Come on, just gather up. Everybody gather in. Everybody gather in. We're going to pray. We're going to pray that God does something amazing in here today. If somebody's not here today, you take them one of these cards and say, hey, we want you to be a part of this. God is going to do so much more than you ever thought he was going to do. I'm telling you, we're going to look back on this day and we're going to say, look at the celebration that we've had. Let's make room. There's people all the way down the aisle. Come on. Yep. Get with your family now. Get with your family. Let's pray together as families, wherever they're at. If you don't have a family, find a family. Pray as an individual. Pray for your family wherever they're at right now. I want everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. We are going to open up the gates of heaven today. And God is going to pour his blessing upon you. And I believe that. Let's pray. Father, today is an audacious day. We understand that. We get that. We understand what we're doing today. Today is a defining moment. We're asking not for just so much, but we're asking just that you just pour your life into us. That you pour the blessing upon all of these families that are here right now. Father, there's some here right now that are like, I don't even know how I'm going to make it to the next week, let alone give to this church. Father, we know that it's not just a demand, it is a biblical principle to give. And we want to be the most generous church. Father, I know from my own life of giving that God, you've blessed me and my family with so much. And I'm looking for the same blessing for these folks today. I'm looking that families will be changed for eternity because of what you're going to do through Cannonball. Cannonball will have stories that will last for a long, long time. And I'm so thankful that we're a part of this. I'm so thankful that we're taking this risk step today. I'm so thankful that we're diving and going all in and we're going to make waves today, Father. So today, Father, I just pray. I pray that whatever amount that these folks put on their paper today, as they go throughout the week, as they pray about it, I pray that they are not hasty about it. They're not bitter about it. They don't. I just want to give something and whatever. But they're real intentional. And that amount will come from you, not from them. It won't come from logic, but it will come from you. Because you're illogical. You're irrational. You are God. You are an awesome God. And we're thankful for that today. So Father, today I pray that you fill us with an abundance. We can't do any of this ministry. We can't do any of these items on this screen today without you. You have to be in control of this. You have to be in charge today. So Father, fill us, bring it, and we will be obedient to you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen and amen.